You're listening to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series Melrose Place.
I'm Dan Hill.
And I'm Jenny Hill.
Let's get started, Allison. Just kidding, I'm Dan Hill. Season 2!
Episode 2, A Long Night's Journey.
Air date September 15th, 1993. Man, I love this season already.
It's good.
It's just good fun.
So we open with Allison and Billy under the covers, Billy's room. They're messing around, and Billy says, "I love you, Allison. You make me very happy."
And she says, probably the worst thing you could respond to with someone says that to you and says, vice versa. What the fuck is
Doesn't
wrong
mean,
with
like,
you?
Doesn't that mean like the opposite?
It means like the same.
Does it?
Yeah, and vice versa. Like it, interchangeable.
Yeah, but like...
It means like interchangeable.
Yeah, how does that make sense?
It means the things you've said to me are interchangeable my way.
And so
it's terrible. It's a terrible thing to say.
I agree.
Vice versa. When the main items in the preceding statement the other way around.
Yeah, so it's like the opposite.
And then the example is science must be at the service of man and not vice versa.
So man should not be at the service of science.
She could have also said inversely or contrary-wise. These would have also sufficed and been equally horrible. Allison, you've already told Billy you love him. Just say it again, you dummy.
So Billy is like, "I don't know why you're going to see Keith again tonight." And I am like, why are you going to see Keith again tonight?
Yeah, dude. And they've already, like, they're far removed from episode one because that ended with Allison and Keith, like, just running off together and Billy being like,
pfft. Yeah, standing in the doorway like, well, I guess I'm alone now.
Yeah, Billy, you really gotta...
Put your foot down.
Yeah, come on, man. This is getting out of hand quick.
So Allison then says, "Oh, Billy, you're just jealous. Why can't you admit it?" And Billy still stands by his thought that Keith is orchestrating this whole stalker thing. All of the threats are coming from Keith. He totally believes it. Yeah. And Allison doesn't want to hear it.
And they're laying in bed. And like you could see Allison is kind of perched up. But Billy... is in, like, he's just sort of, like, in an ab exercise. Like, nothing's holding him up. He's just, like, crunched over. You don't see an arm in the shot or anything. He's just sort of hovering. So I guess he's just, like, using his abs.
You're just noticing that because you just did ab ripper.
I guess. He's doing something in there.
So we then head over to Jane's apartment, and she's cleaning out all of Michael's stuff.
She's got her fuck 'em girl music on, like, get out, who cares?
It's like fake Alanis Morissette that's like, I'm done with you.
And she's like taking his jeans and dumping out his CDs and his pictures. She's just putting them all in a pile.
Awful artwork. There's this artwork from the 90s that it just looks like clip art.
Yeah.
It looks like they just took clip art and they framed it.
Well, that's what happens. Like, these shows have budgets, and they're like, you, go, here's your budget, go get this stuff, and hang it up. And they go to, like, yard sales and freaking whatever.
Well, this is bad. So she's taking everything, she's throwing it in a pile in the middle of her apartment.
And then she says, well, that's it.
the whole marriage.
And it's like 6 pairs of jeans, 20 CDs.
And a clip art frame photo.
Like, that's all Michael had? He's a doctor. It's that's been 2
it.
Years.
That's it.
That's it.
So Michael is actually coming to Jane's apartment, and Joe witnesses him walking up to the door.
She's playing watchdog. She's like, leave her alone, Jake.
You mean?
I'm sorry. I just always have Jake on my mind.
I know.
Man, he looks good this episode.
We'll get to him.
She says, leave him alone, Michael.
And Michael's like, hey, Joe, mind your own business, okay?
Yeah. Jane opens the door. She's like, I invited him. It's
okay.
Fine.
It's okay.
So Michael, he comes in and he's playing like super like, hey, I'm easy.
Like cavalier. Whatever. He's just like, let's Jane, be cool. You know, I get it. I messed up. I didn't do so good, but can we just stop acting like a child here?
And she says something like, oh, we can split this thing. And he's like, why don't you have it?
No, the china. Yeah. She's like, I've taken half of all our china set. I've boxed it up. He's like, you know what? You go ahead and keep that.
Yeah, dude. Guys, we don't want the china. We don't care.
So when he asks Jane to stop acting like a child, she loses it.
Mm-hmm.
She then takes the china that she was going to give to him and uses it as ammunition to throw at his head and the walls and everywhere she could break the china anywhere.
Yep. She's not playing around, and he's like huddled in a corner, like holding a couch cushion to like block himself. It's very dangerous.
And then she says, I'm only human, Michael. I don't know what the hell you are.
That was a sick burn, too. We had to rewind it.
Sick burn.
Sick burn. Jane, it comes out that that Sydney is coming back.
She's coming to stay with Jane to keep her company while Michael is out.
And, dude, I love Sydney. When I was a kid, I remember Sydney's storyline being awesome. So I'm super excited that she is going to be back. And I'm pretty sure she'll be a permanent fixture in season 2.
She's on the cover.
Yeah, she's on the cover.
Of season 2.
Yeah, so I'm super pumped. I know Anthony is too.
Yeah, we know you love Sydney.
Yep.
Laura Layton. So the next scene takes us to the airport where Jane is going to pick up Sydney from the airport. So they're walking out from the gate to Jane's parked car just right outside of the doors of LAX.
Can't do that, guys.
Nope, can't do that anymore. And Sydney is saying, well, Mom said that I need to come out to LA to help my big sister. And she wants to know everything, all the gory details. And Jane is not giving it up.
Nope, she's not giving it up. She hops in the car, they take off, and we go back to Melrose Place, where Matt is just sitting on the steps.
Just looking off into the distance.
Yeah, it's like that's the same storyline in like Sesame Street. Someone walks up and's like, hey, what you doing? I'm thinking.
I'm learning my numbers.
Yeah, it's the same story. So Matt's sitting down, he's chilling. And Amanda walks down, and she's like, hey, Matt, what's up? And he's like, I'm just thinking.
And he says, I miss Rhonda.
Finally.
Guys, someone actually acknowledged that Rhonda is not there anymore.
Someone muttered the words Rhonda.
And he says, you know, Rhonda used to be my confidant. She was my best friend here. I used to be able to tell her things, and I miss her.
And Amanda just jumps in and is like, well, let me try. What's going on?
Why don't I be your confidant? You can tell me things.
And he says that he got laid off and not feeling too good about himself. And Amanda cheers him up. She's like, hey, you know, you're a nice guy. You're personable. I'm sure you'll get a job. Oh, by the way, you saved enough money for your rent, right?
Yeah, the first is coming up really soon.
And what she doesn't know about Matt, Matt is a firecracker.
He can turn on a dime. Oh. You say the wrong thing to Matt, he's going to bite your head off.
You say the wrong thing to him and he's swimming,
poof. Swim diss.
He will swim diss your ass quicker than Rhonda. And he's down the other side of the pool. But he's like, don't worry, Amanda. You'll get your money. Thanks.
And he storms off.
Thanks, I'm out of here. He's like, all right, bye, Matt. And she's like, Matt, I didn't mean it like that. He's like, I don't give a shit. I'm gone.
So we catch Jake and Joe coming back from, I guess Jake is now getting into street bike racing.
Yeah, he's dressed like Buzz Lightyear.
That is exactly my note. I said, I think this is where Buzz Lightyear got his start.
Yeah, it is. He's the inspiration.
I mean, really. He looked like Buzz Lightyear. His little like racing outfit that he had on, it's exactly Buzz Lightyear.
And the Jake's Bikes logo today is not what it looked like when Joe gave him that light.
Yeah, I think he's refined it a little bit. Yeah, it's
very different.
And so, like, Jake is blonde now.
So hot.
Like, they put a lot of highlights in his hair.
And they stopped cutting his hair so short. He's more like
a surfer.
He's a surfer beachy.
Hang ten, dude.
Beachy bike, extreme race guy. But we're back to this sort of ground laying of Amanda being very interested in Jake and Joe being very protective.
So it's basically the same storyline with Allison and Billy, but now it's been replaced with Jake and Joe.
Right. And Joe and Jake are talking. They're like, well, you know, we started this bike thing. Joe's very dismissive of the idea of Jake's Bikes having a sponsored
street bike team.
And Amanda is more just like, oh, I think it's a great idea. Great promotion.
And it turns out that Jake is going to be competing in a race tomorrow.
And she weasels her way into it.
Well, I'd love to go. I don't have any plans. How about I just be the third wheel and come along?
It's like, Amanda, you don't give a shit.
But Jake is so into it. He's like, yeah, that'll be great. And you can see Joe like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah. And it's strange for Joe to be like this because remember how she was with Karen? She's like, yeah, go ahead, Jake. Go on. Go dance with her. Fine. Yeah. And then they made out.
Well, I think she has an idea as to what Amanda's capable of, just from what Allison has told her.
Yeah.
And she trusted Karen. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, they make the plan that they're all going to go to the race tomorrow.
Boom. Over to Billy and Allison. Billy is super worried about Allison.
He's regaling her of all of these crazy psycho stalker stories of spurned ex-lovers that come back and try to seek revenge on those who have cast them aside. Meanwhile, Allison is getting ready to go out to dinner with Keith by herself.
This is stupid.
What?
What's wrong with you, girl?
Why does she insist on continuing to like go on dates with Keith?
And like, you're in a major city. Like, this guy, he can do... Why is he still there? It's like, I don't understand the deal. Like, there's no reason for him to still be there. None. His wounds have healed from his headbutt on the TV.
You're right.
Yeah, like...
There's no evidence that even happened.
Yeah, it's gone.
So how long has it been? Because that was a nice little gash on his head.
Yeah. So it's gone. I don't know why he's just still hanging out.
Allison does say, he's leaving tomorrow. I'm just going out to dinner tonight to say goodbye. And then Billy is like, he's obsessed with you. Don't you see? And then Allison is like, no, Billy, you're obsessed with him and you need to stop. And she leaves. And then Billy gives it a few seconds, grabs his jacket and goes out the door behind her.
Yeah, he gives us that same look from season one where he's like, I'm going to go fuck things up.
So we're whisked away to the Santa Monica Pier where Allison and Keith are walking around and they're... And
this is not dinner. This is a date.
Yeah.
This is an absolute
or
date.
Or they had dinner and now they're like continuing the fun by walking around on the pier.
If this were you and we were boyfriend and girlfriend, I would be absolutely furious. Oh, I'd be like, this is a wrap.
On the other side too, I would be as well. Especially if, you know, you've told your partner on several occasions you're not comfortable with them going out with this person, and then you continue to do it.
Right, this is a wrap. Sorry.
Bye. What? It's over. Yeah. But they're walking down the pier, and Keith says how uncomfortable he is with leaving Allison because of the threats and the stalker person. And then Allison is like, well, I do have a protector at home. Billy's got my back and I can take care of myself.
And he just says, do you think we could maybe hold hands for old time's sake?
No!
Yeah, fuck
we
no,
can't
bro.
Can't hold hands for old time's sake.
You want to make out for old time's like, sake too?
But guys, she says yes. So they're walking hand in hand on the pier. Then he's like, let's go down to the ocean. We can look for medical waste.
When has that line ever worked?
It works now. What? So they are holding hands. They walk down under the pier. And this is when we see the Keith that I have grown to love.
Dude, he looks sick. He looks unhealthy.
It's weird. It's like
they make them all
like
look unhealthy.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Like, no, he looks regular, but then when he starts morphing into like, yeah, it's like he gets like glassy eyed and like gets like red around his eyes.
I wouldn't be surprised if like we looked at the credits and it was like two people playing Keith. He's an amazing actor.
He's like two different people. It's so crazy.
The actor who plays Keith should be giving master classes in acting.
So, okay, the second they're down under the pier, his demeanor changes. Allison senses this and says, what's wrong? And then Keith says,
Nothing. Everything.
Everything. And then he starts going on and on about how when she left Seattle, he totally went crazy. He couldn't focus. He's on probation at work. He got demoted. And this trip out to LA was his last chance. And he feels like he's blown it. So Allison goes to hug him. And then you see his face over her shoulder through gritted teeth going, oh.
Yeah, it looked like he's chewing on her hair. He's like, I want some DNA.
Dude, I would not be surprised if that's what he was doing. He's such a freak. And he's like, oh, I'm going to miss you, Allison.
And he's really clenching her.
And like, really clenching like, her. And like his teeth are clenched. And he's all like, and he's like a feral animal.
And then Billy, like a fucking scared puppy dog, he like pops out of the corner. He's like, hey, excuse me. What's going on here? Everybody, what's going on? Then Allison's like, Billy, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah, and it's like, Allison is mad.
It's like, hey, excuse me, girlfriend, you are in a tight embrace.
Yeah, I saw you just walk hand in hand under the pier with your ex-boyfriend. The only reason you go under the pier is to have sex.
Yeah.
Okay?
You know how many homeless condoms are down there?
Guys, I used to work on the Santa Monica Pier at Bubblegum Shrimp Company a million years ago when we first moved to LA.
Can't stop them from walking down there.
We would have to do beach cleanups and we would go under that pier. It's like, it's bad down there.
Yeah.
Hypodermic needles. There's like weird porn. There's stuff where like homeless people have set up like encampments.
Well, that makes sense. That's why Keith's down there. He's like, I met some friends. They've taught me how to sweat on command. But seriously though, this boyfriend, current boyfriend, walks in on you. Tight embrace with ex-boyfriend. And you have the nerve to be like, what are you doing
in
here?
In her Allison fashion. Oh, go God, Billy. Yeah. Oh, we and then Think Keith of, is like, okay, let's get you home, Allison. I'd like, be like,
what the fuck do you mean? Like, I live with her.
I'll take her home. Why don't you skedaddle?
Yeah, go back to Howard Johnson's.
Billy's just like, you know, kicking the sand behind them like, oh, shucks. Okay, well, I guess I better follow him home now. I
guess I'm just too aggressive.
Like, what?
I'm a stupid asshole. Like, this remember, so you're weird. Like, remember episode one? You're like, I think, Dan, you're going to like Billy a lot more. He's very strong now. He's still a bitch.
Well, no, I'm getting a lot more sympathy for him, especially as the storyline unfolds.
Well, he's a tool. Keith is deranged. And why is Billy apologizing?
Okay, so the next scene, Allison and Billy are back in their apartment. Everything's cool now. Like, there's no bad blood. But Allison says, I'm going to be taking Keith to the airport tomorrow.
Stupid.
What?
And Billy is apologizing for last night.
Okay, Allison. Well, I'll stay out of your hair this time. You go ahead. I won't be following you.
Like, do you think maybe you won't hold hands with him this time? Are you an indentured servant? She's walking all over you, bro.
And Allison is like, well, do you believe me now? He has nothing to do with this.
And she starts making fun of him later. She's like, hey, Mr. Inspector. Yeah. Like, fuck you. You are hanging out with your ex.
Yeah, so.
Like, not even behind my back. In front of my face.
And it's like, every time she sees Keith, it's always like, this is the last time I'm going to see him. And then it's like, no, I'm taking him to the airport.
Billy, I'm just taking him to the doctor's. Billy, we are going to the movies. Billy, hitting it up. We're going to the police station. Then we're going to have sex. And then I have to take him. Gotta take him over to Shooters now. It's just, it won't stop.
Crazy. So, Amanda and Joe are at Jake's race.
Super bike competition. Brum, 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 brum.
Yeah, he's going around. They're watching him. And Joe is snapping some photos.
Newsflash. They're bad.
As usual, they look really shitty. But she's like, oh, wow, these are great. What wonderful angles.
And Amanda, a woman who has never been to a motorbike race, is somehow knowledgeable and is like, he's doing great.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you know?
And then she's like, well, Joe, I need a setting for a beer campaign. Why don't you bring the photos that you've been taking and I can use them?
It doesn't make any damn sense.
But, okay, so it turns out Jake wins his heat.
He won the heat in his Buzz Lightyear costume.
Yeah, you have to look at this, guys. It is seriously Buzz Lightyear's costume.
And then they're like, I don't know if he won. Did he win? And they're like, and 47, Jake wins. And then Amanda just sprints towards him.
Like, oh, never mind, his freaking live-in girlfriend is with you.
Yeah, she just sprints over to him.
So we head over to the hospital where Matt is coming out of an office and basically runs into Michael.
It looked like a water closet.
Yeah, it's like, where is he coming out of?
Was this interview in the bathroom? And like, he just happens to be right in front of Michael. And like, Michael is... I'm falling in love with you.
Oh my God.
I do not agree with anything Michael Mancini does, but I have a fascination with evil characters. Like, me and Jenny, we were both actors in college, and Jenny did some like community theater outside of that, but I like always am fascinated by playing evil, and I didn't get to do it much in college, and I'm pissed. But like, He is such a good villain. Even at this early stage,
yeah,
he is a villain. And you can tell, like, the art of delivering a line as if you have an ulterior motive, that is hard to do. And you can tell when he's talking to Matt that he is going to use him.
Right.
For personal gain. It's brilliant. So it's just brilliant.
We learn Matt is at the hospital interviewing for a social services advocate. And he comes out of this water closet or broom closet or wherever he is. And he said that they wouldn't even see him because he gave him a reason, but they wouldn't just give him the time of day.
Yeah, he was like, oh, they just never see people.
And then Michael is like, well, hello, you know me. Doctors are gods around here.
He said, doctors walk on water here.
Yeah, I'll just go ahead and talk to them, get you an interview, and I'll get you in.
And they have a conversation of like, oh, don't worry, Michael. No one's taking sides. No one's taking a poll.
Because Michael alludes like, well, my reputation back at the apartment, you know, all the friends hate me. And Matt is like, look, what happened in your marriage is none of my business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just happy that you're able to help me out here. So Michael is seeing this as an opportunity to maybe get in the good graces of the old Melrose Place apartment friends.
Yep.
And kind of maybe sway Jane into not going after his future earnings.
Yep. And this is where Jenny put a piece to the puzzle together.
Oh.
For down the road. Like, we always say that we've seen a ton of these, but like, we don't know how it all fits together.
And we
together.
Don't remember, but like, just seeing Matt and Michael at the hospital together, it's like I got a flashback that there's something where Matt is going to like pee for Michael for like
a
drug
DUI.
Tests. I don't
it's
even
like
know.
A DUI. It's like
he had to take.
And then that triggered me. Like, I think Michael's in a wheelchair for like several years.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I just remember him always being in a wheelchair for a while.
Really?
Like, he gets fucked up, like mangled. Can't wait.
So then we go to Jane and Sydney walking down the beach. And this is when Jane is actually going to open up to Sydney about what happened and why her marriage is falling apart.
Yeah, it's kind of boring scene, but yeah, she's just reminiscing about...
Jane recounts her wedding day and how she was so happy that day, yet so terrified. And it turns out there was a lot to be afraid of. And she says all she wanted to do was be Michael's wife and have children with him and build a life with him. And she starts breaking down and asking Sydney, why doesn't he want me? Why doesn't he want me, Sid?
And I'll tell you why. He didn't want you because you were a lapdog. She groveled.
She wasn't a challenge.
Yeah. She, like, anytime she let Michael get away with everything, she never really put up a fight.
It was Michael just sort of like, feeds okay. off of adversity. And
yeah.
I think that she tries to just make, you know, a happy life for them. And Michael wants somebody that will put up a fight.
Yeah, he wants somebody to, like, slap him in the face and be like, give it to me, doctor.
Well,
give it to me, doctor.
That's good because we go to the next scene, which is Michael and Kimberly at the hospital.
Yeah, Michael he like finds Kimberly and he thinks they're going to like sneak off to
like hook up
to get a
like,
little quickie in.
Doctor,
she's like,
I need to talk to you immediately.
She has been subpoenaed, which means that she will have to appear at like a deposition about Michael and Jane's divorce
and having to admit that she's the other woman in the affair and the major reason why Jane is filing for divorce.
Right. And then this will help Jane's case in getting his future earnings, which is something that they both do not want to happen. So Michael's more along the lines of Kimberly's talking as if she's like out. She's like, I cannot be with you, kind of. And Michael's...
She does this every episode.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll be with you no matter what. And then the next scene is like, I can't do this.
Right. Well, she's so all over the place. Well, and Michael, he sees himself as in a position of power. And he's just like, well, All right, I'll pack up my shit and I'll go. You're off the hook.
She says, I don't know if I can take this anymore. This whole thing has gotten out of control and very ugly. Well, what are you talking about, Kimberly? Are you talking about a relationship? Is that what you're talking about? And she's like, I'm talking about this whole thing, Michael. I wasn't looking for to be the other woman. This isn't what I dreamed of when I was a little girl. I didn't want this adultery and this affairs. And then he says, well, I was looking for an intelligent woman, but I guess I didn't luck out in that department.
Ow.
Oh, my God.
But she does something that Jane never would, and she gives it right back to him.
And she was like, yeah, and I was looking for a knight on a white horse, not a moody intern with a crazy wife on his back.
Ooh.
So that's when he's like, you know what? Fine. I'll go ahead and move out. Problem solved.
And then she's just left in that space that they've sort
probably
of,
the same broom closet that Matt just came from an interview.
Yeah.
It's like the same place.
Could be.
So it's later that evening. Allison is leaving to take Keith to the airport while Billy is swimming laps.
Oh, God. And this is where she's like, hey, Mr. Inspector, are you sure you're not going to follow me?
And Billy is in really good spirits about this. And he's like, no, I'm not going to be trailing you tonight. I'm going to go to my place. I'm going to just hang out, wait for you.
Watch the Dodges.
And she's like, great. We'll be naked in bed because that's what I want when I get home. Okay.
Barf. Joe, Amanda, and Jake are coming back very late from their motocross escapade. And they're both just, like, reveling in the glory that is this win. And Jake is being very humble. And he's like, look, guys, I didn't win. I qualified. It's all good. And Amanda's like, well, you know what? Let's celebrate. Let's all go upstairs and have pizza and Chinese.
Huh? And I'm like, who orders pizza and Chinese?
Yeah, what, are you pregnant?
This is a really special occasion. Or, like, my dream. Pizza yeah. and Chinese? That sounds awesome.
Like, you pregnant again?
And that's when Joe was like, well, I can't because I have to work on the pictures that you asked me to drop off. As always, Amanda's always doling out different homework assignments to people in hopes of getting their men alone.
And then, yeah, conniving Amanda, she's like, oh, well, Jake. Why don't you just come up for pizza and Chinese?
Why don't you come celebrate with me? And then, I love this, Joe is like, no.
Yeah.
He can't go over there. And then Jake is just loving this, that he's two like, women are kind of vying for his attention.
He's like, I can't.
Oh no, Jake, you have to help me.
I do.
I've never helped you before. What do you need me to do? And she's like, I need you to be in the apartment with me.
Yep. Jealous.
Yeah.
I still get jealous.
So, we're back to the great storyline. Allison is knocking on the door of Keith's Howard Johnson apartment.
Honeymoon suite.
Keith's Howard Johnson honeymoon suite.
Spared no expense. He's got a bottle of champagne on ice. He's got dinner all set up.
Dinner in the room.
He's not packed. There isn't a suitcase in sight.
Allison.
She rolls up. She's like, hey,
go. You ready to go?
Ready
He's
to
like,
roll?
He's like, nope.
Allison, I have this dinner planned. She's like, Keith, come on. Let's go to the airport. What is this?
I didn't come here for dinner. I came to take you to the airport. He's like, no, Allison, listen, you need to stay. No, Keith, look, when you're ready to go, I'll take you then, but I'm not going to stick around here. I didn't come here for dinner.
Then it gets rapey real quick.
Yeah.
He's so, like, Allison, I don't even remember what he says.
He grabs her firstly and is like, Allison, I love you, and I know you love me. And of course, Allison is like, oh, I know you're not meaning to, but you're hurting me, Keith. Please stop.
Yep.
And he was like, And then she says, Keith, I just want to be friends, okay? I'm with Billy now. I thought you understood that. And being friends, we'll have a way better relationship than what we could if we were ever together. Dang, and then Keith
turns his sweat glands on.
He starts sweating. And he's like, what do you think this is, seventh grade? We can't be friends. Which I'm like, finally, Keith, you are making some sense when you say that, because that's so true. And then it gets real crazy because he's like,
we belong together, bitch.
No, he says, don't patronize me, bitch. Yikes. And then
throws her on the bed.
And then he says, come here. We are going to make love and you're going to like it.
Then he says, I'll hurt you bad.
And I'll hurt you bad.
Oh, man. Like, I'm not making fun of this situation. This is a very scary situation for anybody. But, I mean, it's just, it's intense. This scene is intense.
He picks Allison up and throws her on the bed, gets on top of her, and is like, unbutton your blouse. And she starts doing it. And he's like, when we do this, you're going to like it. You're going to like it. And it's going to be just like old times.
And he's like, tell me you love me. So she's creepy.
Yeah. And she's like, I love you. And he starts unbuckling his pants. And this is when Allison sees her opportunity. She swiftly kicks him in the crotch.
Ball kick. Then she like juts out, runs to the elevator. She waits for the elevator for a minute. And then she's just, like, hitting buttons.
Yeah.
It's like, there's only one. I mean, I know you're not going to run out there and ding, like, touch one button. But, like, you don't have to, like, continue to touch it with two hands. Keith is on the ground
for a long time.
It hurts. Getting kicked in the balls is, like, really debilitating. Like,
take the wind out of you?
Yeah. It hurts bad.
Like, he couldn't run after her? Like, you're done? You're like, on the ground?
It's really hard. I mean, yeah, it's tough. Because, like, you get this, like, sick-to-your-stomach feel if you get hit in it.
Hmm.
And it's just like, oh. I mean, that's the spot. If you're going to hit somebody,
get them there.
Get them in the junk. I mean, it'll put them down for a little bit. Maybe not long enough to, like,
run.
Call an elevator up to whatever floor he's on.
Well, she gets away.
Yeah.
And she gets back to the apartment.
But she gets in the elevator, hits the button, and then she's, like, sitting.
She sinks. She lets herself slide down the wall in the corner. She's like, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God.
And you're still going to need to, like, run out of that elevator.
Well.
And call the police right there.
She doesn't. She gets away. She gets back to Melrose Place. Walks in to see Billy fixing himself something to eat, and he's all in, like, good spirits again. Oh,
and
wow!
And Billy, he still can't do what is asked of him, because he was supposed to be naked in bed.
He even addresses that. He's like, you're home early. I hadn't had time to feed myself and get in my bed and wait for you naked. And then she's like, just, like, brushes past him and goes straight to the cabinet where the vodka is stored.
Straight for the vodka.
Takes it. Pours herself a big old glass.
She always coughs when she drinks it. She, like, takes a big old gulp and she's like, cough. Like, what? Who's telling you to do? Like, I appreciate it because a lot of people in TV and even movies, like, they drink and they don't react to what they're drinking. It pisses me off. Like, in, like, Stanislavski class, like, if you're holding a cup of coffee, you can't just hold a cup of coffee because it's hot. You have to, like, act like it's hot. You have to kind of blow on it. Like, there's things to, like, show that it is coffee. And in this case, I assume what she's trying to do is act as if this vodka is strong and kicking her. But you got to do more than just cough. Like, you could bite. You could, like, breathe out. Like, if you take a shot, you take one, like, whew, like, blow, like, you could do that, but every time she just goes straight to this, like, choking.
Well, she does something, and Billy's like, what happened? And she is very elusive. Nothing happened, nothing. I just want to be alone. And she pushes past him and goes in her room.
And, like, shuts the door.
What's up with that?
Yeah, Billy,
like, I get it, you've just been attacked, and that's horrible, but Billy is the one person who has stood by you and wants to help you.
Yeah.
Why are you alienating him?
If it was me, I'd be like, sweetheart, this isn't working out.
Yeah. Like,
there's something going on. I don't know what it is. You keep running to your ex daily. Daily at this point. And then you come home like all sad and your blouse is kind of like stretched out.
What's up? So Billy does follow Allison into her room and he keeps persisting. What's wrong? You can tell me anything. I love you. Please, did Keith get on the plane? What's going on? And she's like, no, he didn't get on the plane. You were right all along, Billy. He attacked me.
And I want to kill him.
Yeah.
She wants to kill him.
I hate him. I want to kill him.
She wants to kill him. The next scene, we're at Michael and Kimberly's place on the beach, also known as Keith's old house. Michael's basically, he's like zipping up his bag and he's like, I'm out. See ya. And then Kimberly, she turns back into puppy dog. And she's like, Michael, please, please don't go.
This is ridiculous. You'll be lonely and so will I. Yeah. You can't leave.
She's like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to the hotel. Same place where I found you with Jane. When you left Jane.
And then she says, so what? We fight all the time. That's our destiny. And yeah. I'm like, oh, you got one thing right.
Yeah, it definitely is.
That is your destiny.
They fight and fuck. Fight and fuck. So that's what I remember.
So she kind of is winning him over. And he's like, look, I'm sorry. And tries to explain himself. And she just goes, shut up. I hate a sensitive man.
And he eats it up.
Yeah, he loves it. So they're good again.
They go to town. Now we swoop on over to the police station where Allison is recounting the events of the Howard Johnsons.
To a detective.
And Billy's just standing there all pissed off in his camp counselor shorts.
So the detective is like, okay. Let's go over this again. Did Mr. Gray tear your clothing? No. Did he brandish a weapon? No. Did he strike you? No. I see. And this Billy is kind of like that. Establishing that, you know, you have to be violently raped when many people who are raped by people that they know, and it's usually not insanely, like, violent where they're, like, being threatened with a weapon.
It's not right what the cop is doing, and Billy sees through it, and he's like, hey, what's going on
here? And you've known him previously, and are you dating him now? Let's go over this one more time.
Billy won't have it, and then she's like, you're not helping, Mr. Campbell. Please go back over there and sit with the other camp counselors.
So then we're over with Michael and Kimberly, and this is like post-coital, and they're laying in bed together, and Michael just can't get this thought out of his head that Jane is going to come after his future earnings. This really irks him. And he's like, does it make sense to you? Why should she get my future earnings? I'm the one that's pulling 36-hour shifts. She doesn't have to do anything. I do all the work. She reaps all the benefits.
So he talks to Kimberly and he's like, look, we're just gonna lie. You know why? Because we can. We're doctors. And she's just some jealous old housewife.
And it's her word against ours. If we put on a united front and have the same stories, nobody's seen us together. Nobody would know. Who can corroborate it?
But this is bullshit because Allison can corroborate it. She saw him making out while they were still married.
Yeah.
Jane herself can corroborate
it. And then what about that little girls' dinner that they did when they saw them out to dinner together?
Exactly. All Amanda, Joe, they can all corroborate it. And Jane herself, like, she had freaking, like, dinner with them. Or lunch. She showed up at a lunch that they had together.
Yeah, I think it could be pretty easy to prove it, but they think that they're above the law, which psychopaths do think that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of insinuated that this is the route they're going to go.
So now we jut off to LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, Keith is in line to get a flight back to Seattle because he's done his raping business and needs to flee the state. And lo and behold, LAPD roll up behind him and they're like, excuse me, Keith? And he's like, yeah, that's right. And then they're like, you're under arrest for rape. And he's like, there's got to be some kind of mistake here. And I'm like, nope, no mistake. You're Keith, right?
So they take Keith into the station and he's lying through his teeth, trying to turn it all around. Oh, Allison was the clingy one. They were living in Seattle together and he says that he asks her to leave and that when he came here for work, she just couldn't accept it and couldn't let go and just kept following him.
And then the detective is like, well, the staff at the Howard Johnson's says that you had a romantic dinner set up in your little honeymoon suite.
And he's like, I'm not an animal. I wanted to say, let her down easy. But then it's like, hey, Keith, remember when you escorted her to the police department to, like, file these complaints about being threatened? Don't you think that that's proof that you and her were, like, palling around together?
Mm-hmm.
And that does back up her story that you've been a psycho stalker this whole time?
Yeah.
Well, he's lying, lying, lying. He's got an excuse for everything.
And the detective calls him out on it. She's like, you know what? People who didn't do stuff get mad about it. You're way too calm. And then he's like, I don't need an attorney because I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I bet he believes it. And I bet they were like, we did a sweep of your hotel room, and there's a lot of blood on your TV. Can you explain that, you fucking psychopath?
So it's revealed that the DA doesn't feel like they have enough evidence to hold Keith, so he's gonna have to go home.
And of course, They would never do this.
Yeah, but
they, like, cut them both all loose at the same time.
So Allison and Billy are kind of, like waiting, and Allison is apologizing to Billy. I don't know why I didn't listen to you. I just wish I would have, like, trusted you in the first place. And then all of a sudden, Keith walks out and is like, oh, hey, fancy seeing you here.
Hey, guys. So, I guess I'm out of here. So see you, sport.
Yeah, and he's like, so no hard feelings, right, Allison? Okay, bye.
Pleasure raping you.
So the detective is like, look, if he ever bothers you again, just let me know. We'll get him. He's going out to Seattle tonight. He won't be in town for anything else. There's just really nothing we can do.
They're both pissed. Now we swoop over to the Mancini's, where Sydney is staying. She is on the phone. She gives old Mancini a call.
She calls Michael. Can you believe that?
I'm not sure how she got the number either. Because Jane wouldn't have that number. And Michael sure as hell wouldn't have given it to her. And yeah, that's Kimberly's place.
So Sydney is like, oh, hi, Michael. I'm here with Jane. And I'm just thinking about you. Which is like, what? And she's like, I know that this has been hard on Jane, but it's got to be hard on you too. And I just want to make sure that you're okay. So Michael, of course, sees this as an opportunity.
Yep. And it's sneaky, like, sneaky.
Hey, does Jane know you're on the phone with me? And she's like, no, no, no. She doesn't know I'm calling. Well, why don't you meet me for lunch tomorrow and we can go over everything and we can just catch up. What do you say?
And she says, I would like that very much. And can we do it?
And then she hangs up and Jane comes in at the tail end of the conversation. And she's like, oh, hey, Jane, just on the phone with one of my friends in Chicago. Okay, Sid, well, don't run up the phone bill because it's really tight around here now. And it's she's like
no problem.
Oh, hasn't even been in town for 24 hours.
Sid's there to start trouble, man.
You're telling me.
She is there. Now we cut over to Allison pouring herself half a glass of vodka.
And hitting the sauce again.
She wants to stay. They've just gotten home from the police station and she just wants to sleep alone. And Billy even addresses it and he's like, come on, the vodka won't help. And she's like, oh yeah, it will.
See you later.
Let me cough on this vodka all night.
Okay.
And get some better vodka, will ya? That is like not even bottom shelf. That's like on the floor. That's the shit they have in the back. They use to like clean cuts.
Okay, so it's the next day. Matt's all dressed up in a suit. He's on the way to the job interview that Michael got him at the hospital. And on his way out, he sees Amanda, who apologizes. And she's like, look, the other day, I didn't mean to sound insensitive. Sometimes I am. And if you need an extension on the rent, we can certainly work something out. And he says, well, actually, I'm on my way to an interview, so hopefully we won't have to work anything out.
She's like, great, good luck. And Jake is there. Jake is working on a bike, but you've got an entire shop, bro.
But did you notice he's not working on the bike by the pool? I'm wondering, because now that Amanda runs the place, if now he kind of respects her and wants to earn her trust and isn't going to break the rules because now she's the owner.
Maybe. And he... Jake never was a fan of Mr. K.
Uh-uh.
Never fixed his water. Never helped him out.
So he overhears this exchange with Amanda and Matt, and Jake is like, wow, Amanda, that was really nice of you. And she makes a joke like, yeah, I don't like that part of my personality to come out very often. And she walks over to her Porsche that's parked right behind his bike. Badass Porsche.
Sick Porsche.
And she's like, I'm going to have to get to work now. And Jake makes a comment, wow, this is a really fine piece of machinery. Whoa, what a great car. And what does Amanda offer?
It's like, do you want to drive me to work?
And he's like, I couldn't do that. I mean, if I drove you to work, how would I get back? Well, why don't you drop me off, have the car for the entire day, and then pick me up?
And what? He's like, say what?
Let me put away my bike. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Then she's basically saying like, hey, you can do it to me if you want. That's what she's saying.
It's...
Jake has that... That's Jake for you, man. He's got that spunk that the ladies love.
That's Jake for you.
Well, they do whatever they want.
I do not want to hear Joe's reaction when she finds out about this little joyride.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to Mel's diner.
Johnny Rockets.
Oh, it's Johnny Rockets. Yeah. Even worse. And
it's like, come on, Michael, you could cough up a couple more bucks over Johnny Rockets.
And did you see Sydney is wearing a very like sexy dress? She looks really good.
Cause she's trying to. Yeah, Laura Layton is super hot.
She looks really good. They're sitting across from one another in a booth, and Sydney exclaims, I miss you, Michael. And Michael is like, hey, is Jane doing any better? The last time I saw her, she was like throwing stuff around. And she's like, yeah, she told me about the China. But, you know, I mean, she doesn't really talk to me a lot about the divorce and what's going on. And then Michael is like, well, did you hear? You know, she's trying to get me for everything I'm worth and future earnings. And it's just a real mess. She's got this sleazy lawyer. And gosh, can you do me a favor, Sydney?
Just talk to her, will you?
Don't tell her I told you to. But if you can, bring it up and just try to get her to let off a little bit, okay?
She's like, anything for you, Michael.
She reaches across the table, grabs him by the hand, and just looks into his eyes very longingly. And then Michael takes this opportunity to say, you know what? No matter what, I'll always love Jane, and I'll always love the family. Kind of hinting at like, I'll always love you too, Sydney.
And Sid is lapping it up.
Yeah, just eating out of his hand like, ah.
So, even in her guest appearances in season one, you could tell that she was into Michael. But yeah. Now it's confirmed.
Oh, and this is setting the stage for many, many future trysts down the road.
One of the most famous late night TV love triangles, if I do say so myself.
Yeah. So we end this episode by Billy at a payphone. And he's talking to, what can we presume it's like that really weird nerdy guy that he works with?
Yeah, the weird guy who called him out.
And he's like, yeah, just tell Nancy I'm going to be away for a couple of days. I got some family stuff I have to tend to.
And Billy then, really throws around that word family.
Yeah. And then he hangs up. He goes to, he's at the airport. He goes to the ticket counter and tells the ticket agent, one ticket to Seattle, please.
Yeah, round trip to Seattle. Is that how it worked in 93?
And here's my question. He's going away for a few days. What is he going to tell Allison? The truth, or is he going to probably lie?
That's what he usually does. Hey, I'm staying at work for 3 days straight.
I'm living here.
I live here now. But I love you. And she's going to be like, vice versa.
And then we get the screen, to be continued.
Oh, dang.
Ooh, what's the showdown in Seattle gonna look like?
Billy getting his ass whipped.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's gotta be.
We'll see.
All right. End of the episode. You know what time it is.
We recap.
Let's recap it.
Matt is getting laid off from the halfway house, but has an interview at the hospital.
Michael tries to get Jane to lower the divorce stakes.
Jake is getting into street racing, and Amanda is closing in on Jake.
Allison gets nearly raped.
Michael and Kimberly make a plan to deny the affair.
And Sydney is back, baby.
Sydney moves in, and Jane and secretly meets with and Sydney, sorry. Sydney secretly meets with Michael, and then Keith attacks Allison. Billy is on his way to Seattle to confront Keith.
You got some 90s moments?
Oh, do I?
Yeah, there were a ton this episode.
Here, you go ahead. And you give me one of yours.
All right. First, one of the first scenes, Jane's dumping out Michael's CD collection.
Yeah, same scene. The horrible clip art that she's dumping on. Like, that art, you would never see that on anybody's wall today. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Michael's beeper makes an appearance when he knocks on the door.
Sydney's leather hat when she's getting off the airplane.
Jane leaving her car at LAX. Can't do that anymore.
Allison's Walkman when she's about to run 3 miles.
I had that one. Billy Shasta.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Billy, he's got a can of Shasta when he's making the, when Allison comes back and he's supposed to be naked.
Mm.
Yeah.
Comparing your wedding day to a romance novel.
Oh.
Back in the 90s, my stepmom had a collection of romance novels. Like, she was addicted to them.
It's just like nerd porn.
I guess so.
I've got Billy's camp counselor shorts at the police station.
The notion of running up a phone bill on long distance calls. Oh, yep. Don't call Chicago. You're going to run up the phone bill.
Yeah, be conscious of that. Sydney talking on a corded phone, and then her scrunchie.
She had a
big fat white scrunchie on.
And of course we addressed this, but physically going to the airport to buy a plane ticket.
Yeah, and you can't just walk up and be like, round trip. No,
you can. You can.
You could walk up and be like, I want to buy a plane ticket.
Yes. You're not going to get a good rate.
You're not going to get a seat.
You get gouged.
That shit's booked.
Depends on where you're going.
Seattle?
I don't know. It's a short...
He would not get a flight. That flight would be booked.
Well, got any more?
That's it.
So, Daniel, we always try to find a lesson in these episodes, something we can take away and really apply to our own lives. Watching this episode, what lesson do you gain from it?
After watching this episode, my friends listening to this podcast, if you break up with somebody, that's it. Just end it. Sever the ties. Because the shit that's going on with Billy and Allison and Keith is because she couldn't just straight up just cut it loose. It's Dunsky. Then Jane and Michael. If they didn't have that little, they broke up. It was done. It was going to be 50-50 divorce. That's it. But she took him back after he took her on that little vacation and they banged and she was messing with his belt. Just break up and then it's a wrap. Now you're in this whole entire mess. So when you end it, end it. Completely.
It's over.
That's my lesson. Yours?
Don't take your friends to the airport. If someone asks you for a ride to the airport, say, there's Uber. There's a taxi. Yeah. No, I'm not taking you to the airport. Sorry, Keith. No.
Yeah. Dude, I like my friends way too much to ask them to take me or pick me up from the airport.
Yeah, that's like done.
Just in general, stop fucking getting rides to and from the airport. No one wants to do it. You put everyone out. Like, get a cab. It's just factor it into, like, your ticket.
Yeah. So, Dan, every week, there's a bitch.
There is a bitch.
Now, who is your bitch of the week?
I'm a boss ass bitch. Bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch. Bitch, 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 bitch. I'm a boss ass bitch.
Last week. Season 2, Episode 1. My bitch of the week was Allison Parker. Jenny's? Michael Mancini. You all have voted and you have decided that once again, Jenny, you win. Michael Mancini was the bitch of the week.
Woo! Thank you. 60-40. Thank you, my friend.
That's two in a row for you.
I'm feeling on top of the world.
All right, I think I got you this week.
Tell me, who you thinking?
My bitch of the week is Amanda Woodward.
Okay.
Here's why. Amanda, sweetheart, you're coming in hella bitchy strong on my main man, Jake Hansen. You don't weasel your way into boyfriend, girlfriend going to a race. That's a girlfriend thing. That is not friend, landlord thing. You should not be fraternizing with all of these tenants, you bitch.
You're landing on them really thick.
You really should not. Two, Amanda, you have begun this divorce fight. This is your fucking doing. You meddled with Jane. You should not have gotten in the middle of it, and you gave her the idea to go after his future earnings. That was a very bitchy move that you made. Three, you tried to be heartfelt and phony for like 15 seconds with Matt, and then you couldn't hide your bitchiness because you immediately turned around and was like, oh yeah, by the way, sorry that you got fired, but do you have the rent? God, you're a bitch. You are such a freaking bitch. You make passes at Jake. You offer your car to a guy who's living with his girlfriend for the day. Take me to work? That's a bitchy thing to do. You're being a bitch to Joe. You're being a bitch to Jane and Michael. And you're being a bitchy landlord to Matt. Sorry. You're the bitch.
Very well laid out, Daniel.
Thank you.
But I'm going to have to disagree. The bitch of this week for me was absolutely Sydney. without question. Sydney gets off the plane. She doesn't comfort Jane in any way. She's not there for Jane. The first thing she wants to know is, what happened? Did he hit you? tell me the gory details. I want to know everything. It's more of just like a piece of gossip. And she's there just because her mom said that she should go. She's not there to be like a support system for Jane. Her mom says, get to LA, be with your sister. She only wants to know the gossip. Okay, whatever. She gets there. One of the first things she does is she seeks out Michael's phone number. Now, you made a good point. How did she get Michael's phone number?
No idea.
She had to be really dedicated to try to figure this out. So this is all, this. The day she gets there, she's saying, I'm going to backstab my sister. What's the worst thing I could do to her? Oh, I know. How about let's try to get in contact with her freaking estranged husband that she's basically crying over. So she finds his phone number, calls him, and is like, let's go meet for lunch, and agrees to this. And then Jane sees on the beach with her, pours out her heart, says, oh gosh, this is what I wanted for my life. I feel so rejected. Why doesn't Michael want me? Crying. She's there holding Jane, feigning that she's caring for her. The very next day, she goes out to lunch, gets herself all dolled up. I mean, tries to make herself very desirable and sexy. And then throughout the entire lunch, she's staring across the table, giving him bedroom eyes, being like, how can I help you? And then basically her sister's nemesis, who've just like totally taken her sister's heart, ripped it out of her chest, and betrayed her in the worst way that you can in a marriage. She's like, yeah, Michael, I'll help you.
Wow.
Let me find a way to spy on my sister and try to just talk her out of getting what she deserves. That is the bitchiest thing that you can do. You're betraying your flesh and blood. That's your sister. And you're going after her husband? Disgusting. Total bitch.
Damn. Well, you guys have a very tough decision to make on Tuesday on Twitter. Go to @MelrosePod and vote. Is it Amanda Woodward or Sydney Andrews? Now, this episode was called Something Terrible.
A Long Night's
Journey. What the fuck title is that?
I think they wanted to make a play on like A Long Day's Journey into Night or something like, but
it didn't work.
A Long Night's Journey. I don't know.
You have no idea. So let's do this episode some justice and rename it. What do you got?
I would like to rename this episode Keith Grief.
Keith Grief?
What? Keith is giving him grief.
Keith Grief?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Keith Grief.
Guys, don't worry. I have a good one for you.
Okay, what
Keith,
would you...
Keith, that's top five your worst.
Oh, my. I thought of it and I started laughing to myself like, this is a good
that's
one.
That's why you were laughing? Keith Grief.
Guys, oh, it's good. Okay, what's yours, Mr. Imperfect?
My rename for this episode is To Catch a Predator.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Keith is a sexual predator now, and the police tried to catch him, had to cut him loose. Now Billy's trying to catch
that's
him.
That's good. Okay, I'll give it to you.
To Catch a Predator. And technically, Sydney's trying to catch a predator right now.
Or she is the predator.
She is the predator, yeah. Predictions. What do you think's going to happen?
Oh, crap. I forgot about this part.
Well, I think... I have a list. I have a written... I have a written list.
And we've done this 34 times and I forgot?
1 through 8. Two of those we don't really have to do because no one gives us reviews on Apple Podcasts anymore. And then 8 just says bye-bye. So really, it's 1 to 6. And I placed this list directly in front of Jenny so that after the episode, she has a nice, well-written out list of things that we do every single episode. And you missed number 6. So...
Okay, well, I can, like, do it on the fly.
How dare you?
Go ahead. You go. Do yours.
My predictions. Matt gets the job. Michael bangs Sydney. I think Amanda pries Jake away from Joe. And I think Billy gets his ass handed to him in Seattle.
Okay. I agree with everything you said except the last thing.
Oh, Billy's getting fucked up.
Oh, no. I feel...
Billy getting his ass whipped.
I feel like Billy is going to redeem himself. He is going to be the strong man that Allison needs. He's going to go out there. You have
too much
there.
Faith in that guy.
He's going to exterminate Keith. He's going to end the Keith grief. And I think he's going to come out on top.
Billy's coming back in a body bag.
No, stop.
Keith ain't playing. You kidding me? You see that hold he had on Allison?
He's pretty strong.
He'll turn into the Hulk and headbutt him.
or just get so sweaty that he'll be too slippery to grab.
Guys, thank you so much for listening every single week. We love you. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. Our email address is melrosepod@gmail.com. We really, really appreciate all your reviews on Apple Podcasts. Just go there, write us a quick review. And, thank you so much for listening.
We're also on Patreon.
Yeah.
If you would like to contribute to the show, please feel free to do so. We do have some really fun, exciting bonus content that is only available to Patreon supporters.
That's right. We just dropped a 30-minute bonus episode.
And we have some more fun stuff in the pipeline. So if you don't get enough of Melrose Place this way and you need some more podcasts about the place, go ahead and become a supporter and you'll get some bonus material.
Patreon.com/MelrosePod. And we want to thank our newest supporter, Gaspacho! Thanks, man. We love you. It's good talking with you on Twitter and whatnot. And we hope that we can do this show justice. Okay, so I am in a Melrose Place Facebook group, and we got some activity on one of my posts that I want to give a shout out to Alyssa Padilla. Thank you so much for listening. She said, it's the first thing I listen to every Tuesday morning.
What?
Yeah, thanks,
Alyssa. That's so cool. Thank you.
And then Richard Berry was like, I'm having a serious urge to go smash my head against an old school TV.
Don't do it. Keith makes it look cool, but it's really not. Don't.
Yeah. And then Sherry Ockerberg said, I love listening to your podcast. I'm watching season 2, episode 1 DVD right now of Melrose Place. Then you just posted, and she just asked if we post new episodes. Yeah, we do it every week on Tuesdays, 5 a.m. Eastern, and that's 8 a.m. Pacific. And she said, we seem so cool.
Ooh.
We don't just seem it, Sherry, right? We are.
Oh, well, okay, speak for yourself.
We're just a married couple that does a podcast with one mic.
We're
in
like
their house.
Yeah.
We're watching old school Melrose Places. We're not that cool. She said, listen to our podcast right now. You guys are awesome. You make me laugh about when Keith turned into the Incredible Hulk. Oh my God, too funny. I love it.
Oh, I could watch that scene over and over again. There's just something about him looking in the mirror and giving that smile that gets me every time. If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor, guys. Yeah, just watch one scene.
That's got to be top 3 memorable moments.
God, it's so good.
Love you, Keith. if you want, hit us up anytime on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We'd love chatting with you guys. Thanks, guys.
We love you. Bye.